For the past few Sundays, we have been reflecting on some exciting vocation stories from the Old Testament. We've already looked at the vocation story of the Old Testament prophet Samuel. It's a perfect vocation story. He lived in the presence of the Lord. He asked his priest spiritual director for help in discerning the Lord's will, and Samuel responded to God generously and obediently by saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Last week, we reflected on Jonah's vocation story, the polar opposite of Samuel. When God called Jonah, Jonah ran away to Tarshish, which is in the exact opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. And we reflected on how, from time to time, sadly, we too, unfortunately, run away from God and what he is calling us to be and to do. This week, we're going to reflect on the vocation story of Moses. Sadly, we never, ever hear about his vocation story on a Sunday. But you've probably seen the movie The Prince of Egypt, or the recent movie Exodus, or you remember Charlton Heston in the famous movie The Ten Commandments, and you probably know how God called Moses in a very dramatic way. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro at the base of Mount Sinai when Moses saw a bush on fire. But it was not being consumed. So Moses goes over to the burning bush, and God speaks to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses, take your shoes off, for this is holy ground." And God says to Moses, "I have seen the terrible affliction of my people in Egypt, and so I'm going to send them you to Pharaoh to lead my people out of Egypt." How does Moses respond? Well, Moses doesn't respond as willingly and as generously as Samuel, nor is he a chicken like Jonah, who simply runs in the opposite direction. Moses is a little bit more bold, and he's willing to offer God four excuses. The first excuse, it's in Exodus 3, verse 11. Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I to do this?" In other words, Moses automatically, first excuse, realizes that he's unworthy to do this. Who am I? Have you ever offered that excuse before? Who am I that I should be the mayor of Wabasha? Who am I that I should be the president of the CCW or president of the school board? Who am I that I should be the grand knight of the Knights of Columbus? Who am I that I should be a trustee of this parish? I'm not worthy for this assignment. Every man that I ask to think about being a priest, their first response is, "Oh, I'm not worthy for that. I'm not worthy to change bread and wine into the Lord's body and blood. I'm not worthy to hear confessions or to baptize children or to anoint the sick. Oh, Father, I'm not worthy." And my answer right away to them is, "You are absolutely correct. You are right. You are not worthy. No one is worthy. But God has chosen you anyway." God always calls those who aren't worthy. What was God's answer to Moses when he said, "Oh, I'm not worthy. Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" God's answer was, "I will be with you. I will be with you." That was his answer. It's as if God is saying to Moses, "I know you're not worthy. That's okay. I'll be with you. I'll be with you." So Moses has to come up with another excuse. So his second excuse, it's in Exodus 4, verse 1. But Moses objected, "Suppose they won't believe me or listen to my plea." It's a pretty good excuse, isn't it? I often say that to are men thinking about priesthood, and they say, well, what if they don't believe me? What if the congregation that I go to won't believe me when I teach them the good news that Jesus has them for salvation? What if I preach about the evils of abortion and contraception and same-gender get-togethers and they won't believe me? Have you ever offered that as an excuse? Why should I speak up at a council meeting because they won't believe me? Why should I say anything to my boss at work because he won't listen? Why should I even speak up in the locker room when they're picking and bullying somebody in the locker room? They won't listen to me anyway. This excuse is popular. I'm not going to say anything because they won't believe me. It's not going to do any good anyway because they won't listen. God has an answer for Moses. It's actually in today's first reading. The answer that God gives is, whoever will not listen to my words, which the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. So it doesn't make any difference if they don't believe you or listen to you. You still have to do your job. And if they don't listen or believe, I'll hold them accountable myself. Moses says, okay, that excuse didn't work very well. I'm going to try another one. His third excuse, it's in Exodus 4, verse 10. Moses says, God, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses says, I'm a stutterer. I'm not a very good speaker, so I can't do it. How many times do I ask young men to be a priest and they first say, oh, Father, I'm a terrible public speaker. I get so nervous when I'm in front of a crowd. I'll say, why don't you be a priest? And they say, oh, no, I'm not very good with teaching young people. Why don't you be a priest? Oh, I can't work with the senior citizens. Why don't you be a priest? Oh, gosh, I don't know anything about finances and parish budgets. Do you offer this excuse? I'd like you to teach religious ed on Wednesday nights. Oh, no, I'm not a very good teacher. I'll say, well, why don't you sing in the choir? Oh, no, I don't have a very good voice. I'm like, okay, can you lead a youth group in a downhill skiing activity? Oh, no, I don't have any athletic coordination. I'll say, well, can you cook a meal for us? Oh, no, I'm not a very good cook. Well, can you lead a small group at the marriage retreat next Saturday? Or can you lead a small group at That Man Is You? Oh, no, I'm not very good at that. This excuse is I don't have the necessary skills and talents for the assignment. And what's God's answer to Moses? God says to Moses, Moses, who gives man his speech? Is it not I, the Lord? Go then. It is I who will assist you in speaking and teach you what you are to say. Jesus himself says, don't prepare what you're going to say beforehand. The Holy Spirit will be speaking through you and give you the words you're supposed to say. So the screensaver message that you can put on your screensaver is, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Or if you prefer, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. See the difference? God does not call those with gifts and talents. He calls those whom he wants, and then he gives them the graces that they need for their vocation. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So after these three excuses by Moses, first, I'm not worthy, and God says, well, true, you're not worthy, but I'll be with you. Second excuse, they won't believe me anyway, and God says, well, if not, then I'll hold them responsible. Third excuse, I don't have the skills that I need, and God says, but I'm going to give you the graces that you need. Moses tries one last excuse to get out of his vocation. You can find it in Exodus 4, verse 13. This is the best of all. Moses says, God, if you please send someone else. If you please send somebody else. At this point, sacred scripture says God grew angry with Moses. I can't even imagine how many times the bishop hears, "Oh, thank you very much, Bishop, but couldn't you send Father Fred instead to that parish? Thank you very much, Bishop, but couldn't you send Father Urban to teach at the high school instead of me? Oh, Bishop, couldn't you send Father Pius to be chaplain at the high school instead of me? Send somebody else." How often do we use that excuse? That's probably the one we use most of all. "Oh, could you send somebody else to work at the funeral lunch? I'm too busy. Couldn't you send somebody else to run for the pastoral council or the school board? Couldn't you send somebody else to chaperone the kids at the mission trip?" We did this all the time as kids growing up. I would say, "Couldn't you send my sister Joan to do the dishes? Couldn't you send my brother David to shovel snow? Couldn't you send my brother Daniel to take out the garbage? Send somebody else." And God says, "No. I want you." If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Moses tells the people in today's first reading, "A prophet like me, the Lord your God, will raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen." A prophet like Moses, the Lord will raise up, not from angels, but from among your own kin, from your own relatives. You know, deacons and priests and monks and brothers and nuns and sisters, they don't grow on trees. And God doesn't ask any of the angels to do these things, to be these things. They come from among the members of our own kin, from among the members of our own families, not from somebody else's family, from our families. God wants to send you. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Do you remember who God sent to replace Moses? His name was Joshua. In Hebrew, Yeshua, which is the exact same name in Hebrew for Jesus. God sends Yeshua, Jesus, to replace Moses. Nobody else but Jesus could truly be sent. For he is sent by the Father. He willingly comes. And he doesn't send us a substitute. No one else but Jesus could be a better speaker. For he is the Word. No one else but Jesus could be more believed. For he is the truth. And all who believe in him will have eternal life. No one else but Jesus could be more worthy. For worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and praise.